Welcome to The Watching Dead, the officially unofficial podcast for The Walking Dead on AMC. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And today we are doing our Season 7 preview cast. We've got all the information we're ever going to have on Season 7, that is, until the day that it airs. So we're ready.
Yeah.
I think we're ready. I had to do a little brushing up this week because I had forgotten basically everything about the previous six seasons in the interim. I don't know about you.
So last I knew, they were on a boat, had a heroin addict with them. I'm pretty sure that's where they somehow ended up on that West Coast. That's where I left the story.
Yeah, so we left kind of in three groups, right? I mean, we had obviously the group that's with Negan. They are at risk of being brutalized. Probably have already been brutalized.
Someone's been brutalized.
Yeah. We also had a couple of people left back in the town in Alexandria. I think it was Enid and Gabriel both were back there with the baby.
Oh, yeah. Gabriel holding down the fort.
Little baby ass kicker. Right. And then we had our third group, which is Carol and Morgan.
The remnants of the strike team, right?
Right. They're not. They refuse to kill. Like, somehow both of them now refuse to kill.
Yeah.
Over the course of last season, Carol completely flip-flopped on that.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I don't know, Morgan's out there protecting her, but how, I'm not sure, because he can't kill anything.
They ran into those dudes on horseback.
Right.
Wearing their weird body armor.
Yeah. We are going to talk some spoilers, because as far as, like, you know, what's been shown in the previews and the promos.
If you haven't seen any of the previews or promos, I don't know what you're doing listening to this preview podcast. Later on, there'll be some comic book spoilers, but we'll have an official spoiler section. But we're going to be discussing all the sum total of human knowledge regarding the season 7, at least as it pertains to the premiere, right?
Yeah.
I also want just a couple of notes here. We switched last year to no instant podcast, but a live watch for our club members, which will be on Sunday night. And then we do our broadcast on our broadcast podcast on Mondays, advancing from Tuesdays. Now, this week will be the exception for the live watch because we'll actually still be traveling back from the Huntsville, Alabama, the Rocket City NerdCon. Which still has tickets available. We're headlining that event. If you go to rocketcitynerdcon.org, you can get tickets. But we're going to be there Saturday and Sunday playing games and hosting panels and having a good time. Mm-hmm. But we will not. It'll prevent us from being able to do a live watch. Also, breaking news. I don't know if you saw this, but just this morning, AMC announced that The Walking Dead has been renewed for Season 8 in advance of Season 7.
Right. Which is unsurprising. They did this last season.
Yeah. It's not surprising. It's still making a pile of money. It's going mm-hmm. into what could potentially be another golden age of Walking Dead. I mean, I could see if they execute this correctly or any kind of competent way, this sucking a lot of people back into the series because you'll hear the rumors, oh, Walking Dead's good again.
Right. Yeah.
Not that it was ever terrible, but, you know.
Yeah.
It did honk off a lot of people last season.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is, I think, what we're about to talk about.
Okay. Let's get into it.
So, there's a couple of things. Did you follow the spoiling Dead fans? Like, that whole group and the fact that they got cease and desisted by AMC for...
Yeah, I heard something about this.
Because allegedly they... And this is all allegedly, and I hope we don't get sued by AMC for talking about it, but... allegedly, they had inside information, and the Spoiling Dead fans have had very accurate information for a lot of the outlines on what was going to happen for last season and seasons before.
Yeah,
but they had inside information that said that Abraham was going to be the one that was going to die, or at least that's the rumor that I heard that they were going to announce before they got cease and desisted. I actually, if you would have told me that we would be heading into this premiere weekend of The Walking Dead and we didn't absolutely know for sure who had died,
mm-hmm.
I would have been shocked. I am shocked at how tightly they've maintained their information security.
Yeah, it's kind of impressive.
And that's like, that was at least 33% of my outrage for how they handled the finale. The fact that you are going to screw the fans from finding out in an organic, visceral way. It's going to leak out and, you know, but they've kept clamps on that. So kudos to them. Because I did quite a bit of I didn't on the off season. I didn't keep up with the news because I didn't want to reward them for generating all this controversy and feed into it. But I did do a decent bit of research, and I couldn't find any kind of definitive thing.
Right. Yeah. Same here. But there's just a lot of speculation out there.
Right.
And it doesn't necessarily seem to point exactly to one particular character or a set of characters. Everybody is still kind of all over the map with it.
And it's just to reiterate my frustration is I feel like that this debate, who gets killed, is the least interesting part of things you could debate. If we knew who was killed, we could then say, now what? How are people going to react? But we have to forestall all of that interesting, legitimate, story-based debate on just a whodunit, you know?
Yeah, and the other part of it is it also delays the reveal of that and therefore spoils the moment because I don't know about you, but I'm not in the same state mentally as I was right after the finale. You know, I didn't have an hour and a half of television leading up to this thing that was like getting me prepared for this big moment and excited about it. Now all I have is, well, I guess I'll wait and just see who gets hit with the bat. Like
now, but
it feels very anticlimactic 6 months out.
I will say now that we're past all that and we're on the, you know, the week of the premiere, it does feel like starting off the season, which God, I hope this is the cold open. I hope this isn't some kind of flashback or they're going to put it off till the middle of the episode or do whatever. Check in on what's going on, Alexander, or what's going on with the Horse Lords. Or
you'll have to watch Talking Dead. See who was killed.
I don't think they'll do that, and I feel like that there's a little bit of a reaction to, oh, we shit the bed and we're gonna have to go big, because if you've seen the Right Hand Man trailer, there is a lot of interesting things, and I feel like that this trailer, this preview, it's not a trailer, it's 3 minutes of I'm assuming it's right after the cold open. But it is a really workshop on how to do something like this successfully, because it gives you everything and nothing. Like, there's long cuts of Rick's reaction and him and Negan's dialogue, and you can hear people in the crying in the background, and they show gore and remains, and there's and yet I still couldn't tell you for sure who's died. There's also speculation that maybe multiple people are going to be killed by Negan.
Yep.
There's also some other stuff to talk about maybe in the comic spoiler section. Let me
give our predictions from last season where we were kind of leaning. I went back and I listened to our podcast, and at the end of last season I think you were leaning toward Glenn because of the satisfying story arc the story effects it would have on Maggie. I was leaning toward Daryl because I thought the Glenn thing that they pulled mid-season was such a fucking dumpster fire that it would just further piss people off to now actually go and kill him.
I agree.
In another really controversial moment.
I agree with your analysis, but I'm going the opposite way because I feel like it's high time we stop saying that things can't happen because they wouldn't be satisfying or it would just piss people off. Or like,
fair.
Maybe we should lean into the fact that they're going to be defiant and like, you know, fuck it, we're going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
I, again, agree everything about what you said about the Glenn dumpster fire, literal dumpster involved fire, does nothing but take away from this moment. But on the other hand, you know, that's almost a year removed, and I've certainly forgotten my outrage about that. All I remember is the relationship, my vestigial remains of the affection for the Maggie-Glenn relationship, the fact that Maggie's a pregnant woman in a zombie apocalypse, and this would be devastating to lose your mate under any circumstances. But it's almost more cruel to get them back and, you know, reunite with them and then have them taken away again. And it kind of feels random and shitty in a way that almost feels right for The Walking Dead.
Okay. So your opinion, I guess, hasn't changed at all?
I don't think so. And I think that a lot of what people are using to analyze this Right Hand Man trailer is not obvious misdirection, because there's nothing obvious about it. I think it's the way they've done this is pretty skillful, but it is misdirection. Like, should we break down what we kind of see in the trailer?
Sure. Yeah.
At least elements. I mean, evidence number one is the splash of blood on Rick's face. There's amateur spatter analysis on the internet that has said that this must have come from the side that Maggie is on, Maggie, people are speculating that the people crying sound like I saw it sound like Eugene and I think Rosita.
Okay.
And
how do they determine that?
I don't know. I really don't. But that's one of the evidences. The blood spatter had to come through, right? And they're saying that it's Maggie, since you can't hear Maggie cry. But on the other hand, you'd think you'd hear Glenn like causing all kinds of ruckus if Maggie had just been beat to death.
Right. So there's also speculation. I guess people are saying like, oh, this must be a few minutes into the episode after this is all calmed down. Mm-hmm. Because you're right. You would hear screaming. But he in that episode, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Negan, says anybody who says a word is going to get the bat.
Right.
Maybe he's already gone through an iteration or two of that, and now people just are shutting the hell up.
The other evidence is people say they can see an engagement ring in the pile of gore, which I found entirely unconvincing. It looked like a glistening bit of – because I saw several. It's like, well, it looked like there's several other things that could be shiny metal, but I think it's just glistening remains of bone or viscera from the person's head. Like and also people saw a blanket. The blanket that was covering Daryl was laying on the ground next to the gore. But I think all these things, I think the engagement ring is just an unfortunate piece of light and reflection. I think the blanket is intentionally put there to misdirect you. And then what I thought was really interesting is the conversation Negan and Rick have, where he's like, you know, this guy's my right-hand man. Those kind of things are good to have in this world. Maybe your right-hand man is one of these people still breathing, or maybe, and he kind of catches his breath like he thinks he might have killed Rick's right-hand man. Uh-huh. Of course, Rick is giving him nothing.
Right.
So the fact that they're debating a right-hand man, now, again, is it sexist to say that a woman can't be someone's right-hand man? Certainly. Do I think Negan is sexist? Probably. Okay. So like I feel like that's a valid way to attack it. Like, I don't think he would say that if there was a man or a woman splattered on the ground, he just beat to death.
Okay.
But
I guess I don't necessarily agree there.
Okay.
I think because the way he says it, he kind of gives Rick a moment when he says like your right hand man is one of these your right hand man.
Yeah.
Rick gives him nothing, and then he kind of like says, oh, or maybe I, you know, clocked him or whatever he says, just kind of makes a sound effect, I think.
Right.
So I don't know. Maybe he's surprised by the fact that his right-hand man would be a woman in that moment.
Oh, that's...
And so it takes him a moment to get that.
Uh-huh.
That he's already...
Okay, that's actually... I'm replaying this in my mind, that's actually a pretty valid way to read that.
Of course,
it's not a right. It's a woman, you know.
Right, and of course, none of this means anything.
Sure,
it's all just speculation.
Sure, sure. Some people have thought that. I don't know, because who is of if you chose between Abraham, Daryl, and Glenn, who would you consider Rick's right hand man?
Probably Daryl.
I would, feet to the fire, I would say Daryl, too. But you could make an argument for Glenn.
Right.
You could also make an argument for Abraham of, you know, like very recent history as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think from Negan's perspective, if, you know, Abraham's always the one that was with Rick at the checkpoints, and he's the one getting out and, you know, kind of being a more aggressive guy, like the man behind the man. Mm-hmm. So I think from Negan's point of view, he would probably suspect it was Abraham. There's a lot of meta analysis,
right?
But you know, if you take that, because so I guess I never really figured out is the fact that Negan said, when he's dragging Rick off at the end, he confiscates Rick's hatchet and he drags him off to the RV for a chat. I do not like this decision. I feel like this is like going to be, from a screen perspective, like, you know, it's like, why are you dragging the leader off to interrogate him in the RV? Like, that doesn't feel like that's something Negan would do at this stage. Like, if he's not satisfied about breaking Rick spiritually, he would go at more of his people, or he would do something to Rick, and he would do it publicly.
Right.
So that's weird to me. But as he's dragging him off, he said, you know, it's like, we'll see if Rick makes it out of this alive, and if not, I guess we'll turn out his people or what's left of them. Is that the fact that he's saying, implying that maybe there is more than one casualty, is that why people are saying that more than one person died? Or,
well, people have been saying this since the end of last season.
Right.
That footage certainly wasn't out there at that point, but I could see reading it that way, definitely.
Or the fact that he's going to beat someone to death, and then Daryl's going to act out, and maybe he beats Daryl to death, or maybe he beats someone else to punish Daryl. And but the theory is there's two corpses. I don't buy that. That feels like, I mean, but it would, if Gimple and company were nervous about, oh well, we've kind of shit the bed here with this off season business. Maybe we get people back by bringing two splashy deaths.
There's one other way that they could kill two people with one swing.
How's that?
Maggie.
Oh.
Like that. So there has been a lot of talk, and this is always the talk, and so I want to dismiss it just out of hand.
Okay.
Entirely, but there's always talk, and it has been there this season, about how this is going to be the most extreme season ever,
right,
and how you're shit yourself and die because it's incredible. And people are saying that Negan will do something that will make everyone hate him. And that could certainly qualify. Killing a couple of really beloved characters, or killing a pregnant Maggie.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
Either one of those. Other
than beating Eugene to death, what could he do to not just inflame the fans' passion?
Aaron to death, probably.
Beat Aaron. I mean, I think Aaron's a pretty solid favorite, too. Like, he's been a solid guy, and he's also a Daryl surrogate at this point. Like, he's, you've really made a connection with Daryl.
Yep.
I don't know. I just feel stupid that we're having this discussion,
Right.
Six days from now, we will fucking know.
Right.
And
I don't want to spend half an hour on this.
Right.
I just wanted to cover the bases.
Yeah.
I guess my opinion has changed, and I do think it's probably Maggie.
Ooh. Why?
Well, for a couple of reasons. A, I mean, sure, he could get the blood on his face some other way. That really doesn't say concretely, but it does potentially come from that side. Maggie's to his right.
That thing is just the thing is that blood was just dripping off the bat, and he's got the backswing. He gives three shots, so I feel like that. Mm-hmm. And then someone speculated that he might do a flip bat flip move. Sounds like something Batman would do. Activate the bat flip, Robin. He flips Lucille, and that's going to splash blood, since Lucille's just literally running red with blood. I don't know.
Also, here's a counterpoint. I think Maggie might not be able to sustain three shots to the head in her current state.
True.
So potentially
she's in a bad way already.
Right. And at the end of last season, he was like, "Oh, I'm surprised you could take that shot," or whatever.
Yeah, well, I mean, that would go well with a on death's door pregnant woman too.
Right. Or literally anyone.
The other thing is, I mean, this is the cynical bastard in me, but we're talking about a show that struggles keeping day-night cycles and whether it's raining or not straight in its head. We're really going to speculate who lives or dies based on blood spatter direction?
Right.
Really? That's what we're going to do?
If we were speculating based on whether or not a van's going to land on its wheels,
yeah,
we would be completely wrong.
Right. So, I feel like we need to relax a little bit on using physical criminal scene analysis, physics-based, gravity-based.
Yeah.
Newtonian.
The second reason is because I think it would make a huge impact on this crew.
It would.
I mean, think about all the people who care for Maggie, both in the audience and also on that screen.
And even if you don't, it's the spectacle of a pregnant woman being beat to death.
Right.
I mean, that is grisly. That's some bad shit. Like, even if you're a jaded Walking Dead fan, that would definitely peg the revoltometer.
Yeah, I would think so.
I don't know.
So that's my I guess, official call for
official
who's going to get the bat. Yeah.
I still think Glenn.
Okay.
With maybe if there is I could see Daryl. I could see Daryl in the struggle after dealing with his emotions, having an outburst, and Negan immediately saying that wasn't the rule, and going with the theme of not punishing the offender, but punishing someone else to make him feel extra bad. Then hitting Abraham. But I kind of would be surprised if they off two guys in the first 5 minutes, or girls.
Yeah, it depends on how much they want to set the tone for this season.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I have more to say, slightly more to say in a comic book spoiler section. I also have a piece of comic book related feedback to consider.
I want to take a couple minutes here to talk about Harry's. And if you've listened to our podcast, you probably heard this before, but there are some updates, some new offers from Harry's, some upgrades to the razors, and
new
I think
stuff
they're
has come to light.
New stuff? Are you
new
toning
stuff.
It down because we have a sponsor? Is that what's happening?
Know, I don't know. I don't know if they want to use the word shit used in reference to their product.
New shit has come to life, and it's the good shit. So one of the features that they have added to their razors that has been the game changer for me on Harry's is they added the precision blade on the back of the razor, which
right.
you know allows you to get into the nooks and crannies.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of make clean lines.
The advances of the modern shave razor with the wider head and the more blades that gives you a more comfortable, smoother shave. The problem is when you get up in the nooks and crannies. It gets up in the nose.
Yeah.
And you're like, Aaron, what the hell do you know? You haven't shaved in years. Aha. Aha. You're behind the times. If you watch any of our video from late spring, early summer, you know that I did whack the old beard down. I got rid of the Grizzly Adams, and I went baby I went dolphin smooth.
You did
for six to weeks or so, and I used exclusively Harry's products to pull that off.
Yeah, it's good. It's their Gen 2 razors, and I was definitely missing that precision blade, but now it's there. Mm-hmm. And it makes a world of difference. They have a new offer for people who are interested in subscribing and getting their blades for a lot cheaper than you would pay elsewhere. They're about half the price, I'd say. If you go right now to harrys.com, it's harrys.com, you can get a free trial kit, which has a razor, it comes with a razor, which is the handle, mm-hmm. Five blade cartridge, and a shaving gel. And when you sign up with the code BALDMOVE at checkout, you get post shave balm added to your order for free, which is just a soothing gel that, you know, takes the sting out of shaving after you're done. And I use it personally. I think it's great. I know you just said that you've tried it and like it.
Yeah, and I'd check a look at all their products because their shave cream, I'll put that up against. I used to do a lot of high-end shaving and was like really into the wet shaving movement and all that. And I thought their shave cream is as good as anything I've ever tried.
Yeah.
For a really great price for such a high-end premium product.
Yeah. And I'm a gel guy. I like the gels. So
I like the creams.
I say you can't go wrong either way. I have been using the cream because I've been out of the gel recently, but I need to re-up my supply. Also very good. So, yeah, check it out. It's harrys.com. Use the code BALDMOVE at checkout and get that post-shave balm added to your free trial kit. If you've seen any of the previews, you've seen this crazy dude with a tiger, this dreadlock dude with a tiger. I don't know how that's going to play out, but I guess there's going to be a tiger in The Walking Dead.
Okay.
Because I saw it.
Could you tell if it, because I guess I haven't seen that preview. Could you tell if it was a...
So there are a couple
was it a
more.
CG
like,
tiger, or was it
It
a...
looked CG to me. Yeah.
Okay.
And from what I hear, they're going to be doing a combination of animatronics and CG for
right.
the tiger. And you know, this guy whose name is Ezekiel, this is all in trailers and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
He says at some point, welcome to the kingdom. Mm-hmm. You see kind of a compound, which I'm not sure. It could be Negan's compound. They play fast and loose with these trailers
right.
because Ezekiel also, it is implied, kills that zombie with its arm kind of hanging off. I don't mm-hmm. know if you've seen that one, but that's definitely not true because I've seen previews of Dwight killing that zombie or Dwight passing that zombie on the road.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's they're playing fast and loose with it. I think we're probably going to get to see Negan's compound based on the
bet.
Trailers I've seen.
That's a good bet. And I mean, that's one of the things I said last year is like, I like the idea of this world getting larger.
Uh-huh.
You know, that you've got the hilltop, you've got Alexandria, you've got Negan's compound, you've got this place, perhaps the kingdom's being introduced.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have distinct cultures and whatnot within it. Like, there's this one scene that I thought, first of all, Jeffrey Dean Morgan in the Right Hand Man trailer is just like, I thought he did a really good job as Negan. A lot of people were kind of like unsure, but I just thought like he really nails the essence of what Negan is without doing, you know, the every other word out of his mouth a swear word. Like he still nails, like I didn't feel like, oh man, I missed the fucks and shits and, you know, whatever he says.
Yeah.
But he did a really good job. And there's one scene where, like, Negan's walking through, I guess, his compound or one of his compounds, because he probably has multiple compounds, and, like, all of his men, like, hit the deck.
Yeah.
Like, they get down on their knees. Like, he's a medieval feudal warlord. And mm-hmm. I feel like, of all the villains we've seen in this show, like, you know, the despot, you know, the gang leaders and the prison dudes and the governor, like, this guy is the first one that feels like almost a Mad Max style post-apocalyptic warlord.
Yeah.
Like, he rules by intimidation and fear and unquestioned loyalty that he demands from people. And I think that's a neat dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the oily politician post that shit never has played as well as that. And I'm excited for that. And I'm excited to see kind of this larger world unfold because, you know, you need multiple settlements to start reworking, because right now, like, we've wrestled endlessly with concepts which, like, you know, what does it mean to be alive and what does it mean to be a person and what does it mean to be a human in this world? Well, now we're talking about civilization,
right?
And that's exciting. That's like something, you know, how do you establish trade, how do you establish trust, how do you deal with, like, you know, having critical skills like doctors, and that stuff is fascinating, and I'm looking forward to exploring it and getting away from the navel-gazing aspects of, you know, what does it mean to live out there? You don't know what it's like out there. All that stuff.
Right. Which has never really been their strong suit.
No. Well, certainly not six, you know, not stretching out for six seasons.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's about all that I have to talk about.
All right.
Leading up to it.
All right. Well, when we return from the spoiler break, we will have some comic spoilers and speculation.
Okay. Yeah, didn't get a ton of feedback. I'm not sure the people knew we were actually going to do this podcast today. So
we stealth release on them.
Yeah. And I have feedback from months and months ago, but it's all just the same stuff we're talking about.
Right.
The speculation about who's going to die, who isn't. So I'm going to save everything until episode one comes around and see what's still relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And if anything is, then we'll cover it. If you'd like to send your feedback in for that, you can send it to walkingdead@baldmove.com. Or you can go down the forums and go to the Walking Dead threads. We'll have one posted for the episode next week. And
is it Watching Dead or Walking Dead?
It's either.
Oh.
Watching Dead or Walking Dead at baldmove.com. But yeah, we'll see you next week if you don't want spoilers. And if you do, stick around after the music. Until then, I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron. See ya.
And we're back with the spoiler section. What do we got?
So, the Right Hand Man trailer. You can't have something called the Right Hand Man trailer and Negan talking about right hand men and how nice it is to have right hands and confiscate Rick's hatchet and drag him off for some sort of punishment.
Right.
A lot of people are saying we're finally going to get the Rick's behanding moment, the severing of his hand that happens in the comic books very early on in his career. Now, a couple of things. Number one, that seems a bit obvious. Like, that's if you wanted to shock or surprise a Walking Dead fan and win him back, like, why would you lead with that material in the preview?
Mm-hmm.
It could be just an obvious misdirection to get people excited about that and off of whatever the real thing that they're doing. The other thing is, you know, one of Kirkman's biggest regrets from interviews is that he maimed Rick on his right hand because it really limited what he could do as a character. Also, the fact that if you do that to a real life character, now you're going to have to green screen his hand in perpetuity from here on out.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime his right hand is shown, you're going to have to either give him a weird prosthetic like Merle Dixon, or you're going to have to green screen it out, which is going to, you know, increase your budget that might better off go towards zombies. What's your gut say? Do you think this is misdirection, or do you think this is actually going to happen?
You know, I hadn't even considered it.
Hmm.
I had forgotten all about Rick's hand. I feel like it's going to be misdirection.
The other
thing, Kirkman has his way, I don't think he wants to do it.
The other thing is, I think what I said in the non-spoiler take about Negan doing things publicly goes double here. If he was going to cut off Rick's hand, he's not going to take him to the privacy of a trailer. He's right. going to do it and humiliate him, you know, make it a front and center type thing.
You would think so, yeah.
So that's what I think. I just want to make sure we covered that. iMaddie94 from the forum says, how do you think the next few seasons will go in terms of the all-out war storyline? The new beginning and the Whisperer War. Now that letter, I still haven't read the Whisperer War yet. I was going to wait until I got a little bit closer to read that. And I felt like my coverage of the show improves if I get a little distance from the comic book source material. I think season 7, this is iMaddie, will be the March to War, which is the volume between the Negan killing, that's going to open up the season and the start of the all-out war storyline. Seasons 8 and 9 will be all-out war, and I think 10 can be the new beginning, with 11 being the start of the Whisper War. My gut says that's... I mean, you might be right, but I feel like that's way too slow. We're talking 32 episodes for all-out war? I don't buy it. I hope...
Yeah.
I hope that season 7 is going to be the March to War, with the second half of season 7 being all out war, and then leave season 8 to be probably the flash forward, if they do that, because that's one way that they could, you know, without sacrificing the pacing of the show, give the comic book a little bit more legs to room, because, you know, comic book flat after all out war, they flash forward to several years. So now Carl is aged up, and you know, the Negan thing has kind of been dealt with, at least temporarily, and you can see what this Rick's Brave New World looks like. I feel like if they wanted to put the show on a treadmill, they just don't do that and give us two seasons of, you know, but the problem with that is, what's the conflict, right? Because that's a time of kind of relative right. peace and prosperity, which I think would be interesting to watch, but it's not really The Walking Dead.
Sure.
And also the fact that Carl, he's almost aged out of the role that he's in right now, that, you know, if they do the time jump, I think Chandler Riggs would be perfect to then play Carl in real time going forward.
Yeah.
So I don't know, because I feel like, man, does anyone want to see 32 episodes of All Out War? That's a lot of hours of television.
It is, and I don't know how long that storyline is.
Not that long.
I wonder if they'll try and pad it out with, like, I don't know, some Carol and
well, that I mean,
Morgan,
oh,
and
because that's pandering to. I mean, that's repeating their bad habits, because it's either all right. out war or it's not. If it's all out right. war, you're not going to have time to take a breath and do these smaller stories. You know, you might have some you know, some limited time to do some tales from the front where people are dealing with trauma and whatnot, but you're not going to have a lot of time, because why would Negan call off his troops long enough to do it? I guess they could invent reasons, but I mean, yeah, two full seasons for All Out War, I think, is too much.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can't really comment on the Whisper War, because I saw the very first introduction of those characters when they were kind of mysterious and whatnot, but I don't have any. And I've had people email me in and tell me kind of like broad strokes of it, but I don't know exactly how long that would be or what its resolution would be. So,
does it have anything to do with the wolves or whatever we're seeing? No.
Yeah, this is a completely new faction. So, I mean, that's another good one. Do you think the wolves will be a thing going forward?
I don't know. Hadn't really considered it. I felt like they got pretty devastated
right.
In the Alexandria attack. Carol was in full effect. So I don't know. I doubt they'll be back in big numbers.
I don't think we need it. I mean, we have a big bad and a big threat.
Right.
And it's a cool one. Like, yeah. You don't need to... You've got the Borg, you don't need to bring in the Dominion, you know?
Right.
Like, let's keep it keep it simple. So,
mm-hmm.
But again, it's never been Walking Dead strong suit. They do kind of go off in the weeds and take their time and poke around.
That's true. And that's usually where they get a little off the rails.
Right. But I feel like they still got a lot of years on the comic, and they could pick up the pace significantly, and you know, if they wanted to. And that's the thing. Like, it's so weird, the frustration of The Walking Dead, primarily being that when they have really good comic book storylines, they've had the stubborn refusal to just play it straight like the comics do.
Yeah,
because they want to change how the characters' arcs are, or they want to give different screen time, or they think this will play different, which I've always hated. But if and I wondered, like, is that because if Kirkman is doing that because he wants to surprise the fans, or if he's just personally finds it boring to retell the story the exact same way, and he sees this TV show as a way to kind of correct some of his editorial narrative defects, then what better way to do that than catch up to the comics and then do whatever the hell you want?
Yeah.
Fork him. Fork them. Yeah. Fork them if they can't take a joke. Fork them if they can.
And you got 16 episodes a season to do it. Like, this is a pretty long TV show. Sure. As far as, like, a long-seasoned TV show.
Yeah.
Nowadays. I mean, a lot of shows are 10 to 13.
Yeah.
Here in the U.S.
16 is almost a throwback. It's, like, halfway between the sweet spot of, you know, premium cable dramas and the old days of, like, 24-episode seasons.
Right. Which partially feels like that's where they lose their way. They have this idea of, we want to get to this milestone in the story here, but we've got 16 episodes to fill, and that's a lot.
Yeah, they have to work, and, you know, these overall arcs have to be kind of self-contained and make sense within a season, and they're just a little bit too long for that. So that's why you get Slabtown, and that's why you get Carol doing whatever weird shit she was doing last season, and the Wolf Rehabilitation and Reclamation Project, all that kind of stuff.
But I'm with you. If they go like 7 and 8 for All Out War, and The Path to War, whatever you were saying, or whatever it's called, that feels like too little for two seasons.
Well, and I tell you the other thing that's kind of frightens me when we're talking about the Wolf, those long conversations with him in jail are so similar, and not in content, but in form, of what goes on between Carl and Negan once Negan is imprisoned as a war criminal.
Okay.
That, like, it's one of those things where, like, what are you going to do? Are you going to swerve? Are you going to go zig where you zag?
They might.
That's some good shit. I don't know. Lots of classic moments coming up this season and the next half season. If they do it just straight up and tell the story, who knows if they'll do that.
Okay, anything else?
That's it.
All right, well, we will see everybody next week then, after the show on Monday.
Yep.
With our full review of the first episode. Hopefully they can make up for some of the disgust that I felt at the end of last season.
Yeah.
We'll see.
It'd be nice to see if they actually think of, like, pissing off fans and rewarding fans in context, or whether they continue to cynically go with the, just generate heat and buzz and discussion.
Right.
So we'll see.